We sang this morning in the psalm, the song, that near the cross I will watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever. That was our song this morning. I don't know if you knew that that's exactly what the Lord is telling Habakkuk to do. Hope and trust. Stay near my word. There's no promise to save Jerusalem in our text, in the whole book of Habakkuk. There's no promise to save Jerusalem. There's not even a promise to save Israel. There's a promise to save those who will walk upright. It's one of the few books where there's no direct promise for Jerusalem or Israel or the people there in the city or in that nation. The only promise, again, is to God's people who live through this. We're going to find out. They have to live through this. There's no help coming. There's only judgment coming on the nation of Israel. We talked last week about Habakkuk and how he actually accuses God. Watch how he accuses God. God does not hear. Verse 2. He says, you don't hear and you don't see. And then he says, but you make me see. So Lord, is he calling him a hypocrite? Or why aren't you doing anything? You're making me look at this. And then he says in verse 3, when you do see, you kind of watch idly. You're standing idly by. You're looking at wrong idly while justice is perverted. While we're surrounded by the unrighteous, you're looking and standing idly by. That's quite an accusation of God, isn't it? It's okay for us to feel that in our souls sometimes. It's okay to sense that, wait a minute, I'm alone like Elijah, you know. I'm all by myself. There's no help for me, or there's no help for us, and especially if we continue to watch the news, we just see the destruction of our country, whether it's by fires, record fires, whether it's by the riots, whether it's by the murders in Chicago and Baltimore and other places. We see this and we wonder, Lord, you're just kind of watching idly. You're standing idly by. Why are you making me? And I think the concept there is, you make me see this, but it's right in front of me. I'm living through this. Habakkuk is accusing God. And then, of course, you know that he says in chapter 1, he says, look among the nations. The first word he says is not behold. Usually in the Bible, when the Lord wants somebody's attention, he says, behold. And we see a lot of the verses through the Old and New Testament, behold. Jesus even says it himself. But that's not the word he uses. He says, see. The word is see. He'll use the word watch. Some translations will watch and see and whatever. But the word is to see. Look and see with your eyeballs. And then he says, see again. But that word is to observe. So see what's going on and pay attention. Now, did he say, read the scriptures? Did he say, get together and try to work this out? No, he said, with your eyes, your physical eyes, look at what's going on in your planet, in your surroundings, in your nation, in your culture, and watch what's going to happen. We can learn from that, from Jesus, Matthew 24, Luke 21, other places, even Peter and Paul tell us to do those things. Pay attention, Jesus says in Revelation 3, pay attention. Watch and pay attention. And in this case, he said, I'm going to do something that if I told you, if it was told you, you wouldn't even get it. You would be amazed. So, watch. Watch. I don't know, 2016, November, whatever date that was pretty amazing. It's pretty interesting. But now some people say, well, Trump divided our country. Well, you know, there was riots and stuff before that. There was lots of things going on before that. I continue to say that these things are underneath girding us. You know, they're rivers of hate, rivers of cold, rivers of wickedness, and rivers of righteousness too, undergirding us. And these last two presidents in particular have brought this out. It has caused people to take sides. Make your decision. Because see, you've got a problem in your nation. Ask the people in Ferguson and ask the people in Minneapolis. There's a problem in your nation. So just watch and see. God is not watching. He's not idly standing by looking at injustice. He has a plan. Sunday morning's lesson. A plan, a plea, a plan, a promise, all those things. He has a plan. He even has some promise. But in this case, there's no promise of help coming to that city. There's only judgment. That's not what I want for our country. That's why I decided to preach this set of messages. Because we do not want what Jerusalem and Israel faced under the hand of the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Medes or the Persians, the Egyptians, on and on, Antiochus Epiphanes or under the Antichrist. We don't want those things. Now, I'm going to say this. It's coming. It will not be avoided. It is coming. What we want to do is delay it. But in this aspect, in Habakkuk, the time had come, and the judgment was made. So here's your burden, priests. Look around and watch. Oh, Lord, we cry to you. Violence, we have a problem. We repent of our own sins. Lord, help us to repent. And he says, it's too late. You're going to judgment. You're going into judgment. So now what? Now what are we supposed to do? Now that the determination has been made, it is over. He says, look among the nations and watch what's happened. The Lord tells how bad they are. Not when he's talking about Babylon. The Lord had before, in chapter 1, told Habakkuk how bad the Chaldeans were. And Habakkuk already knew it. He describes them as well. They're evil. Verses 5 through 11, chapter 1. God says, here comes the swift leopards. Here comes the fierce wolves that cry in the evening for their food after they've devoured as well. Here comes the devouring eagles. They're going to come quick. They're going to come fiercely. They're going to gather the people like sand. They're going to laugh at the kings, and they're going to pile up the earth. They're going to take land. And they're going to swallow up Israel. Habakkuk should be saying, he is saying basically, wait, how is that going to help? How is that going to help? You're going to take a more evil people than we are. That's debatable. We're all evil. But Habakkuk is saying that nation is worse than we are. You're going to bring them? Why? And then he accuses God again in verse 13. You're going to idly look at traitors. So you see the accusations that Habakkuk has, because the problem is he doesn't understand God's plan. And sometimes we just don't understand God's character. And it scares us. And sometimes, many times, we don't want to hear the answer. I need to make you more righteous. I need to chip away at you. Here's Job's problem. Here's a medical problem. Here's a problem in your family. I'm going to use some things to tighten you up, to make you more righteous, to run to me more, faster. Here it is. Lord, I don't know you very well because that's not what I would have chosen. That's not what I want to see from you. You're going to walk, you're going to stand idly by while you use the crooked, wicked people to hurt me? No, I'm not standing idly by, but I am going to let them hurt you. That just doesn't sound right. Habakkuk knew that these people that are coming had already swallowed up the northern 10 tribes. He was there watching when it happened. And today, you and me do not want chapter 2 of Habakkuk. That's why we're preaching this. We don't want chapter 2. We don't want what we're going to read today or what we have read. We don't want it. So in verse 1, Habakkuk says, I will take my stand at my watchpost. Now I want to stop there for a second because the Lord says to watch and Ezekiel tells him to watch. And so Habakkuk is supposed to be a watchman and you and I are supposed to be a watchman. And so he's supposed to be a watchman, but watch what he's watching for. Because again, he's standing in the face of God. He says, I will take my stand at my watchpost. Okay, I'm going to watch. I'm going to station myself on the tower and look out to see what he, God, will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Now, so he still really hasn't got it. Like, look among the nations and watch. Now, so he's going to say, well, okay, I'm going to go watch, but I'm going to watch how he's going to answer my complaint, not how he's going to fix our people. So he's still being a little bit, well, I don't think he's being arrogant, but he's just misunderstanding. And he's upset. And this is totally good. You got a good prophet going before God. David does the same thing. If you have a complaint, take it to the Lord. He knows your heart anyway. Just tell him. Now, I've heard some preachers say, well, just go ahead and cuss sometime. And go ahead and do this. And don't do that. Don't do that. He wants to hear from your heart, your complaint and your argument and your supplication. But pay him respect when you're doing it. So, Lord, I'm going to take my stand and I'm going to watch. You know who this reminds me of? This reminds me of Jonah. You remember Jonah? He goes down to the ship to run away from God. When God says, you're not running, here's a fish, big, big, big fish, swallows him up, dumps him out on the land, okay, you know. And you get these cartoon pictures of him with seaweed all over him and he's drenched wet and moping around, you know. There's this one description of him. He's been in the belly of a whale for 3 days, so he's probably bleached white, you know. And you can imagine this picture of him. Okay, here I go to, you know, Syria, to Nineveh, and I'm going to walk across this city for 3 days saying, you're all going to die. You're all going to die. Repent. He didn't want to go in the first place. He goes. He says, you're all going to die. 40 days, you've had it. And then they repent. And what does Jonah do? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I've seen a wonderful, mighty thing. No, Jonah goes and sits up on a hill, and he's going to go watch the city to see what will happen to the city. Not what God will do. He's going to watch the destruction of this city. You know, and then the Lord sends a vine up. Because he's sitting in the hot sun. I'll help Jonah out a little bit. Give him a little vine. Sit underneath your own little personal vine. And he's still angry. The Lord says, do you have a right to be angry? Yes, I have a right to be angry. Mope, mope, mope. Okay, I'll send a worm. And he sends a worm, and he eats the vine. So Jonah, God is not standing idly by, Habakkuk. Lord, are you standing idly by while California burns? Colorado burns? The cities burn? The courts are unjust? While we've got the socialist and other cultures, I will say, that are trying to take over our nation. That's what's happening. I want to say something about Islam. Okay? Even a peaceful Muslim, when they are under the government of Islam, they must live by the Sharia law. They must. So we say, well, we only got a few of these jihadists, and those are the people we got to worry about. Folks, they have to live under the Sharia law. That's not the Constitution. We live under the Constitution of the United States within the borders, north, south, east, and west of us, if I remember right. We don't want any other culture taking over our culture. We want them, like God demanded other people who went into Israel, to take up their language, take up their laws, and we pray they take up our religion. It's going the other way. Raymond, you're getting a little too political. You haven't seen anything yet. You know, but I'm gonna lay everything on the line here. You know there's a Johnson Amendment out there, right? There's a Johnson Amendment, and I should be looking at the elders right here just so we're clear on something. I didn't clear this with them before I talked, but we should be up on it. The Johnson Amendment, preachers and churches can't get political. I'll just lay it like that, okay? You can't endorse one person. You can't endorse one party. Well, folks, right now, first of all, Trump, he hates that amendment. And Jay Sekulow hates that amendment. I'll run to his doorstep if I need him. I got a greater lawyer than he does, Jesus Christ. So he's my mediator and my lawyer. And let me just say this, that if we are under any kind of government than what we've had, we've got a major problem with God. And we'll talk about some of those issues that are coming up. But there's one person, Joe Biden, who does not and cannot, with his friends, stand for what the Constitution of the United States now stands for. He cannot. Because they won't support him. He is pro-abortion. Open the borders. Name it. We're going to go through a little bit more of that. So I will say it very clear here. We need to vote for Donald Trump, and you need to get your friends and your family out to vote for the Republican Party, and some independents are out there that are actually better than some of the rhinos, Republican in name only. Because they care about those things that God cares about. Okay, I said it. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits his appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So that's to Habakkuk. Write it down as simple as you can. Put it in fifth grade English and give it to people. And by the way, when they see it, they're going to go, oh, and they're going to run with the message. And that's for you and me. We're going to run with this message. God is not idle. He's got a plan. We don't like it. What's his solution? We're going to get to that. We're going to get to his solution. It's very, very simple. It's hard but simple. It's plain. Okay? And here's this key here. That this plan is going to come at a certain time. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. You need to wait. You need to wait. Now, again, according to Scripture, only Israel as a nation is saved. Let's make that clear. Okay? But the righteousness of a people exalts a nation for an appointed time. And that's what these messages are about. You and me want to take God's plan for our life, because remember, Habakkuk was talking about his life. You make me see this. We are seeing this. And we care about our lives. What are you going to do in my day with my life? Well, I got a plan. It's hard but simple. It's plain but hard. Let me put it that way. It's very plain. It's very clear. But it's going to be difficult. All right, you got your boots pulled up? Your belt on? Because it's not going to get easier. It's not going to get easier. It may get harder. We don't know what is in front of us. We don't know. We have to be ready for God's plan. Not mine, not Donald Trump's. We have to be ready for God's plan. We're going to know what his plan is, part of it on the third. We're going to know part of it. We'll get to some of that. Wait for it. If it seems slow, wait. Where's that train? Where is that train? Just be patient. Have another burger or donut. Verse 4. Behold, his soul, the Chaldean soul, is puffed up. It is not upright. It is not upright. He is an evil man. He is an evil nation. And this is one of the second, actually this correlates with the second promise, but really this is the only promise that they are given. This really is the only promise that they are given and you are given. Okay? This is the only promise. Behold, his soul is puffed up. He is not right. He's going to die. But the righteous shall live by faith. Now, when Romans talks about that, when we get into Romans and Galatians and some other places, we say, well, is that faith? Like I'm going to live in eternity because I believe in Jesus? That plays a part in it. We believe and so we live, right? But remember, you believe and live and then live out your faith. You work out your salvation. And so what he's saying is, Habakkuk, if you're a righteous man, you're going to live through this time by your faith. By your faithful walk. That's what he's saying. Because, see, we know that. Because, see, he's not upright. He is unrighteous. And I just proved it to you. He's wicked. And by the way, you've seen it. He killed all your people in the north. He took the 10 tribes out. So, we know what he did. We know who he is. And I'm going to take him out. How are you going to live? Whether November 3rd comes out right or wrong for you personally. We're headed somewhere. And you're only going to make it if you live by faith. Now, again, how long is that? Well, there's a point in time for our death as well. So we don't know when that is. We don't know when we go home. But in general, the promise is true. If you walk righteous before your God, he's going to protect you. You're going to be his. He's going to keep his promises to you. And then he's going to take you home when he's ready for you to come home. He's got your place prepared at the table up there. He's got your seat. He's got your room. Everything's prepared. When the time comes, it is over. It is done. And you can't do anything about it. Now, if you're unrighteous, you can do something about it. You know why? Because the unrighteous repent, and now they're under the whole new realm. If the unrighteous come over and say, I want to be righteous, then the Lord's going to help me through. And he's going to get me through all of this. He's going to get me through all of this. Verse 5. Now, this is just how wicked they are. This is exactly how wicked. I told you they're wicked. They're, you know, what they're like, these animals and stuff, and what they kind of like do. But here's how wicked these people are. Verse 5. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man, so he's arrogant, who is never at rest. His greed, he's greedy, is as wide as Sheol, like death. He has never enough. He gathers for himself all the nations and collects as his own all the peoples. So this is what this nation is. Is there anybody like that on the planet right now? Do you know that the United States, while we have military all around the world, we have the greatest military ever, and we'll get a little bit of that as well, we get some of these great things happening. Do you know that we're not an empire? Because we didn't go subdue kings. We didn't go take over lands. Now, I will say this against us, that we went and subdued, you know, like Gaddafi and Saddam and some of that stuff we probably should have stayed out of. And Trump called some of this stuff endless wars. We got into some of that stuff that we probably shouldn't have, but we did, and here we are. Okay? But in general, we're not out conquering the world. We don't want other people's lands. In fact, we want to come home. Do you want your troops to come home? Do we want our kids to come home? Do the Larsons want their boy out there? Or just to get a little bit closer to home? We'd rather have him safe at home. It's nice to visit Germany. It's nice to visit Turkey. Was there twice. Loved it. But we don't want to stay there. And we don't want to be under their dominion. But listen to this. Turkey is out to swallow up land right now. And he is swallowing up land. Russia is swallowing up land right now. Iran is doing it by militia, but they, boy, if they could, they would run to the south as fast as they could. They would head to the south. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm going to do it anyway. I had a great talk with Ali Farhadi yesterday. We talked for about 2 hours, and he's going to start talking about prophecy and those kind of things. So he called, and we talked for about 2 hours, and it was great. Because it gave us time to really go through who's who and what's what and what's going on. It really kind of, we kind of stood on the watch post and looked around the nations and said, what's going on? Who's doing what? Who's who? Who's stomping on who? And Turkey would be the fastest one south if they could. They would be the fastest one south. If America is out of the way, again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just can't wait. Because America is in the way of Russia and Turkey and Iran and Pakistan and China and the EU, because we have all the money, we have the greatest economy, we have the greatest military, we have God, we have the church, because the righteousness of the people exalts a nation. That's who we are. Now, we can't say, well, we're mighty and we're the greatest, all this. The Lord has made us thus because of our relationship with him. And this is who we are. And God has appointed us as the guard and the policeman for the nations. We bought them off a lot of ways. Here's some money. Stay out of his territory. Don't go stealing that oil, whatever. But once we say, you know what, we're tired of this. Let's come home. We start coming home. Guess what? All these little hyenas and Jaguars are out there going, well, look, you know, the big guy's leaving. Not Joe Biden. The big guy's leaving. America, he's leaving the scene. Now what? Now what? Who's going to protect us? Who's going to pay us? Who's going to do all this stuff? Because Turkey's going to come and take my land. I'm telling you, that's what's happening. And that's what's going to happen. Because Obama didn't draw red lines. Oh, Trump said, okay, I'm going to draw some red lines, but not for long. We want to bring our guys home. And so these guys are out there going, oh, yeah, see, opportunity. Mr. Trump doesn't want to get into another war, and they're going to take advantage of it. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with the United States that has to be taken out of the way? It must be taken out of the way, because somebody's coming around swallowing up everybody. But here's the woes against Turkey. Here's the woes against Russia. Here's the woes against China, unless they change their ways. But they won't, because Ezekiel says they won't. Ezekiel says they're coming. Be ready. See, this is where we're at, folks. And when we look down the street, we see the riots. And we see the smoke. You see all the red night the other night when it's smoky overhead. What's that redness? It's smoke from Colorado. And another city burning and all that kind of stuff. We see those kind of stuff. But look further. Look out there. Look at the nations. Watch. God is doing a great thing. it's going to be painful. Because here's the kind of unnerving part. We don't know where we stand. We know where Russia stands. We know their end. We know Magog's end. And Beth Togomar. And Persia. And Cush. And Put. We know their end. But we don't know ours. So, do we want another day? Do we want another 4 years? At least? And maybe then get Nikki Haley or Candace Owen or Pence or whoever gets in there after that would be great. But how many years do we get? Well, I'll tell you what. I want 4 more years. How about you? 4 more years? Yeah. Of a king? Put it pretty king. Daniel 2 says he raises kings and deposes them. Let me tell you about Mr. Trump. Okay? You know what he said yesterday? He said yesterday that I'm no longer a Presbyterian. I'm a non-denominational Christian. You know what he said that yesterday? You know what he said the other day? Somebody came up to him and said, "You're the most famous person in the land, in the world." And he said, "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are." "No, I'm not." You know who the most famous person, I'm quoting him. You know who the most famous person in the world? It's Jesus Christ. Now listen, I watched him yesterday. He said some words I wouldn't rather have said. But I've said some words too. I've gotten angry too. I've gotten stupid too. And the Lord has forgiven me. But this man has proved his, the proof's in the pudding, they say, right? That he is pro-life, pro-constitution, pro-close the borders. He is pro-United States. He said over and over, there's love in this room, and I love you, and I love my country. When was the last president that said that? I love black Americans. And Asians and Hispanics. It goes right down the line. And he's proven it. He is not a racist. He's arrogant. He's got a past. Anybody out there got a past? We need to get past his past and vote for this man. And you need to get your friends and family out there to vote for this man. Because I'm telling you, we are not in the Magog war. So where are we? Judgment or rapture? So Ali and I are, I'm way off script here, but I don't even know where I'm at.
Just keep preaching.
So Ali and I are talking yesterday, and love that man. What is this guy a great guy or what? That young guy and his wife, Veronica. And by the way, he's Iranian by descent, and she's Russian. So you got the Persians and the Magog, and you know, you got that whole thing. The Lord said, "Let me show you. Watch around, because I'm doing something. You know, if you saw it, you wouldn't believe it. I don't believe it, you know." So Ali and Veronica, great, wonderful couple. And he's preaching Jesus like nobody else. And he over there helping Islam, Muslims, and all that kind of stuff. And just doing a great job. So he was, you know, asking me questions. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? All this other stuff. He said, "You know, I've been to a lot of churches. We've been to a lot of churches. And nobody watches like you guys. Nobody's watching. Like the Lord told Habakkuk to do. Go up there, get on your watch post, and watch." Revelation 3 and other places. Now, we can know in general and be ready for the Lord. That's fine. But I think it's great to watch the chess pieces move around the world. I think it's fascinating. And I think it's absolutely fascinating to try to understand where America is going to be pretty soon. And this is why I say that. Because Iran hates Russia and their friends. Turkey and Russia have been in several wars together and their friends. Iran and Turkey, Sunni and Shia, who must kill each other before they even kill Christians. You see, Christians and Jews, if they submit, that's Islam, means submit. If we submit to them, we're good to go. We're fine, but not an apostate. Not an apostate Muslim. They must be killed. So what is the caliphate, the new caliphate, the new Erdogan caliphate, what's he doing linked up and made treaties with Iran and the Shias for. They're, 2 weeks ago, twice, they bombed the Kurds together. The people of the Kurds. They coordinated strikes on the Kurds together. Now, I know I'm way over there in the desert. And we know it's all about oil, and it is about oil. And we know, but listen, folks, do you see this? They're greedy. Do you see this? They're dishonest. Do you see this? They're violent. Do you see this? They're shameful. They will shame everybody around them. Because they only care about themselves. Now, so we just don't have the Assyrians out there who just decimated the 10 tribes. And then we got the Babylonians behind them. So you got, you know, the Egyptians, they were one thing. And then you got the Assyrians, they're gone. And then the Babylonians, and they're gone. Then the Medes and Persians. So now you got two nations working together. But yeah, they're gone. And then Greece, and they're gone. Whoa, wait. Now you got the Russians and the Turks and the Iranians and all the hordes. The storm of hordes coming with them down south to the Sinai Peninsula someday. That foundation is set now. Where's the United States? Because we can't be there. I showed you pictures last week. We have 10 times the aircraft carrier. That means we have 10 times the group. An aircraft carrier doesn't stand alone. It comes with a group between 15 and 25 ships. It comes with them, thousands of men, anywhere between, 5,000 men on one carrier at least. Then you've got all those thousands of men. And if they're carrying the big guys, that's not Joe Biden. If they're carrying the Marines, you got another issue, right? And you've got at least two carrier groups. So you've got, 20,000 people? Let's just say 20,000 in two carrier groups in the Med and the Gulf. And then you've got 15 to 20,000 in Qatar right now. Air Force, yahoo. You got the F-35s, the best plane in the world. You've got the best missile systems. You got the best radar systems. You got nukes sitting in Interlick. Hey, they ain't going anywhere. Nobody can come against the United States. We're in the way. We're the cog in the wheel. But we haven't been an empire. We haven't reached out to conquer the world. We reached out to be missionaries and guards and policemen. So you and me want to say, Lord, please have mercy on us. And that's what he's going to say next week. Habakkuk is going to say, okay, Lord, I get it. We're out. We're in trouble. Here comes the Chaldeans. Please have mercy in your judgment. Please have mercy on us. Wouldn't it be great if the Ezekiel war came and we had everybody home? We're like, man, do you see what's going on over there? And we're like the blessed nation of Israel. Each man has his own vine and his own farm. And yes, Dan, you're milking goats, you know? Because we've got our own places. Because God continues to bless us. Wouldn't that be great? I'm concerned. Because, see, especially with people like Trump, he is going to protect Israel. He is going to protect her. And he's going to make her strong, Ezekiel 36 and 37. And they're going to become a mighty host, very strong. But they're going to rely on their own pride. And the Lord said, that's it. That is it. Because nobody is an idol worshiper of mine. You worship God and God alone. So there's these five woes to these idolaters and these shameful people and these greedy people and these arrogant people and these violent people. There's the five woes. It's going to happen. It's coming down on your head. And at this point, there's absolutely no promise of redemption for them or Jerusalem or Israel in this text. There's none, because it's going into judgment. And that's going to happen again. So my question to you is, do you want another 4 years? Do you want a Christian cabinet and a man who, I'm going to leave his heart between him and God. But he's talking about God, he's talking about Jesus Christ, he's talking about the church, he's talking about our borders, he's talking about the Constitution, he's talking about loving the police, he's talking about our economy. He's talking about helping us and loving us. And Joe Biden isn't. So, your vote, I pray, is clear. And over the next week, we'll talk a little bit more about this one more time. And then, on November 3rd, we're going to see the hand of God. Because this is, now again, I'm not a prophet. But if Trump wins, and I will say in front of you right now, I believe he will. It doesn't matter what the polls say. We'll see what happens, but that's my belief. If he wins, we win. If he loses, that's God's mind in, okay, you guys have had enough. You guys have had enough. Because it's not going to be Joe Biden running the country. It's going to be his cronies. And you can trust in that. Last verse. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. So, Habakkuk, no matter what you see, no matter what happens in front of you, no matter what you feel, I want you to remember something. I'm on the throne. Be quiet. Be quiet. There's a wonderful verse in, I think it's Psalm 46. It says, be still and know that he is God. It used to be, well, still is, one of my favorite verses. But when you look at that place, when you look at where it's at, and I'm just going to read a couple more verses here real quickly. Zephaniah 2:12. And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his portion into the Holy Land, and he will once again choose Jerusalem. That's in Zechariah. But watch this. Be silent before the Lord, all people, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. He's mad. Be silent, Isaiah 41. Be silent before me, O islands, and let the peoples renew their strength. Let them come forward and testify. Let us together draw near for judgment. Isaiah 41, Zephaniah 1:17. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. Indeed, the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guest. Be silent, because judgment is coming. Be silent and watch and prepare yourself, because judgment is coming. That's what's going to happen in Habakkuk, and to Israel, and to Jerusalem, and ultimate the Chaldeans. That's not what we want. We want to repent of our sins. Have you ever repented of your mother's and father's sins? Because they play on you. Daniel did. Have we ever said, Lord, forgive us of those things. Drive our enemies away, like David said. Drive our demons away. Drive those things away that keep us down. Drive them away so that I can worship you and praise you. And then I will sit still and not accuse you of being idle. I'm not going to accuse you of being idle, because now I see that you are at work.